Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Great music to kick us off, yes. Climbing mountains, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Not specifically, but the same kind of general idea, the hero's journey. We are continuing our series, as you know, on the 12 powers through different popular movies. The movie for this week, representing wisdom, is The Empire Strikes Back. And I asked this at the very beginning of the service today. I'm going to ask it again. How many of you have seen the Star Wars, the first four, five, and six, the first three Star Wars movies? It's always confusing, isn't it? This was the turning point in Luke Skywalker's journey. And we're going to be talking about the wisdom that he learned from those around him and how we can do the same thing. But if you're here for the first time and may not be aware of what our 12 powers are, these are the foundational powers that we use to grow spiritually. There's nothing dogmatic or religious about them. These are powers every human being has from birth. These are the powers that build us to a higher and higher realization of our Christ potential. And those powers are faith, strength, love, wisdom, the power of power, imagination, understanding, will, order, enthusiasm, also called zeal, elimination, also called release, and life. These are basic, what Charles Fillmore said, called primal spiritual gifts or abilities that everybody possesses. We don't have to get them, nor do we have to get more of them. We have all that is possible to have. We have an infinite supply of these powers. What we are about is coming into realization of these powers and making them useful in our lives. Because when we do that, that is when we begin to more fully demonstrate that Christ consciousness that Jesus modeled for us. That's why we study them. That's why we go deeper with them. And that's why sometimes we recognize them in popular culture around us, because Spirit is always speaking to us. I tell people sometimes that you can find spiritual messages in everything, even the Sunday comics. But today we're going to focus on The Empire Strikes Back as we explore the power of wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, Webster's dictionary defines it as knowledge and good judgment based on experience. Being wise. And wise implies having a knowledge and understanding of people and what is true and right in life and conduct, and showing sound judgment in applying this knowledge. In the 12 Powers, Charles Fillmore wrote, "Wisdom includes judgment, discrimination, intuition, and all the departments of mind that come under the heading of knowing." It's knowing. Wisdom is sometimes also referred to as judgment. That's the word Charles Fillmore actually used in the beginning, was judgment. But the problem with judgment is it has baggage. We have a lot of judgments around the word judgment. In this case, we are talking about good judgment, making wise choices, learning to balance our information, our knowledge, with our intuition. Well, if judgment is such a good thing, why does it get a bad rap? Because we have attached it to things we have grown up with. Sayings like, don't be so judgmental, or even from the Bible, judge not lest you be judged. So it's important to differentiate between true judgment, discernment, and condemnation, which is what that word has come to mean to so many of us in our culture today. You see, discernment seeks only truth, only to do the right thing. Condemnation is about making others wrong. It makes more sense then if we change the wording of some of these things to condemn not, lest you be condemned. Sounds a little better? Yeah. Well, not really good, but it makes more sense. Interestingly enough, the other power most closely associated with wisdom, anybody want to guess? What would it be? No guesses? Oh, come on, guys, be brave.
Knowledge,
understanding, love. Love. In fact, the apostle that is assigned to the power of wisdom, and there's nothing magical or canon in this, it's just a way we have of recognizing the powers, is James, the brother of John. And John, of course, represents what?
Love.
Yes. So the combination of wisdom and love is a clear example of connecting head and heart. Wisdom without love is very academic. And love without wisdom tends to become very codependent and leads us to make unwise choices. James Trapp, the former president and CEO of Unity Worldwide Ministries, once said, "There is information that informs, and then there is information that transforms." Wisdom is seeking the information that transforms. And when we connect that information with our heart, our center of love, we give energy to the power, the process of transformation, and we rise in consciousness. Together, wisdom and love help us to see beyond who we think we are and beyond what we believe we are capable of when we combine wisdom and love. And when we layer that on top of the two principles we've already studied, you may remember were faith and strength, we develop the capacity to see beyond appearances, to move outside of our comfort zone, to know that we are capable of so much more than we thought. You know, we live in a world right now where it's very easy to get caught up in the appearances of what's going on, isn't it? And to go, oh my God, we're all going to die. Life is chaos. It's turmoil. Bad things are happening. But when we see with wisdom and love and combine it with strength and faith, we begin to realize that there's something bigger going on behind all of what we're seeing, that there is transformation happening in the world. And whenever there is transformation, whether it's in the world or in ourselves, it can appear very chaotic, can it? It can appear to be very uncomfortable. But that is simply old ways breaking down, old crystallized thinking and beliefs breaking up. So how do we do that? How do we begin to move into that? Well, I like the words of Cindy Wigglesworth, a Unity author, who writes that wisdom is a spectrum. It's a spectrum, and it's based on data. There is the data or information that is facts of the world around us. From that comes knowledge, applied information. How do we take that information and apply it to what we see, to what we are, to what we are learning? And then there is wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge guided by compassion. So we take all of that in and we process it and we use it. For those of you who have seen The Empire Strikes Back, is there anybody who has not seen it or is not familiar with the story? A few of you, really? Okay. Well, basically, dark times have come upon the galaxy. There's an evil emperor and a powerful, what they call a Sith Lord, a dark figure, whose name is Darth Vader, which literally translates to Dark Father. That's going to be important. Don't forget that. Okay? And there is a young Jedi Knight. He's barely out of his teens. Young Jedi Knight named Luke Skywalker. There's significance in these names. I mean, think about it. Skywalker, walking at a higher level. But he's young. He doesn't have any wisdom yet, really. He has a lot of good ideas, and he thinks he's right about a lot of things, which we're going to find out maybe not so much. But he is impacted by what is going on around the world, around the galaxy, in his experience. And he's focused on what's happening to him and his friends and family themselves. And he's being called, something's calling within him to rise up, to make a difference, We all have that calling. We've all felt that calling. And there's a whole arc to the story. It very much is the hero's journey. And I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but it all works out good in the end. And it's all about wisdom. The Empire Strikes Back is the middle of the first three Star Wars movies, which were not released in the order that was the whole series. It's the middle. It's the turning point. It's the point where everything breaks down in Luke's life so that something higher and purer can come forth. But it's not an easy process. I think it's safe to say that the Star Wars trilogy, the original trilogy, is very much a part of our modern culture, our modern mythology. And when George Lucas was writing this, he was actually studying the works of Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell is the quintessential expert on the hero's journey, which every story the world knows is the hero's journey. From the religious stories of the Buddha and the Christ and Muhammad and Krishna, to all of the other stories, all of the other pop culture, it is the hero's journey. Lucas very clearly saw that everyone in the story, but particularly Luke Skywalker and Anakin Skywalker, you'll find out who that is in a minute, symbolized the hero's journey that we all go through in our own lives. And there's a particularly meaningful relationship between Luke and Yoda. This is Yoda, for those of you who don't know. Well, actually, this is baby Yoda. He came along later. But Yoda was a what they call a Jedi warrior. We're going to talk about what that means, too. Yoda was the epitome of wisdom and understanding. Luke gets a message to go see Yoda. He didn't know who Yoda was. He had no idea. But he hears a voice, the voice of his first teacher, Obi-Wan Kenobi, saying to him, "Go to Dagobah, find Yoda. You will learn from Yoda." So he flies to a planet called Dagobah, and he crashes his spaceship, his fighter, on the planet, and it sinks into the swamp. And he's trying to salvage what he can and, you know, set up camp and all of that, and this little green figure comes up. This little green figure that is very different from anybody he's ever met. And this little green figure kind of puts on an act almost of being like this kind of quirky, maybe not too intelligent creature. It was all an act. And so the whole time in the beginning there, Luke is treating Yoda with great disdain, being even kind of belligerent to him. And he's telling, Yoda asks him, "Why are you here?" And he says, "I am looking for a great Jedi master." And Yoda, who has never met Luke before, says, "Oh, you seek Yoda?" And Luke goes, "You know Yoda, take me to him." And he starts getting very demanding. And they go back and forth. And finally, we begin to see a little bit of chagrin when he realizes that this little green troll, played by Frank Oz, by the way, was in fact the Jedi Master Yoda. There's a powerful lesson for us there. How often do we think that wisdom needs to be pretty or tied up neatly in a bow or always make sense the first time we hear it? We think that the wise masters that we should be listening to walk around like this. What if they're little green trolls? What if they come to us in packages we don't recognize right away? You see, Yoda was the perfect example of that. That wisdom comes in all shapes, all sizes, all colors, and even puppets. Yoda's training of Luke in the following scenes is very comprehensive. He doesn't just teach him about the metaphysical nature of the universe. He makes him physically work out. Because Yoda recognizes that we are human beings and spiritual beings. So his teaching was holistic. It was about body, mind, soul, spirit. It was about all of that. And it was important to know that we cannot deny our humanness. You know, there's so often this idea in religion that we have to become spiritual and totally forget about our human side. But our human side is what's here right now. It's the avatar that our spirit uses to have this experience. So it's very important that we keep that in mind. So along with the exercise and the physical work that Yoda trained Luke in, he also made him meditate. Oh, even in Star Wars, they meditate. It's important, folks. If you don't meditate, meditate. It is that going within, that going into the silence. It is there in meditation that we find the wisdom that is of the mind, the heart, the body, and the spirit. This was hard for Luke, just like it's hard for us sometimes, because Luke could be very impulsive. Remember, I said he was quite young. He wanted everything right now, even us, my age. How many of us want everything right now? We live in a world where everything is right now. Luke was not patient. Luke was not wise. I think it's safe to say that he had just enough information about metaphysics and truth to be dangerous. Well, one of the things that Luke had to learn to face was his own inner darkness. And there's a scene in The Empire Strikes Back on Dagobah when Yoda tells Luke, you have to go into this cave. And you cannot take any weapons or anything with you. And Luke kind of ignores him and takes his lightsaber, which was his weapon of choice. And they go in. He goes into the cave alone. And this cave is dark and dank and scary and full of lizards growling and all kinds of fearful symbols. And Luke has some bravery. He's okay through all the snakes and lizards and all of that. But then he confronts Darth Vader. Dark Father, big, black, breathing heavy. And the first thing he does is pull out his lightsaber and chops his head off. And the head falls at his feet, and the mask explodes off, and he looks down, and it's his own face. Remember that scene? Luke had to go into this metaphysical cave representing his own inner consciousness and confront his deepest fear. Now, our caves are not quite so literal. They're more metaphorical, but the teaching is the same. I like what Eleanor Roosevelt said, do one thing every day that you're afraid of. And for many people, it's like, well, today I'm going to go skydiving or bungee jump off a bridge. Thank God that's not what she meant. Because I will not do those. Do one thing every day that you're afraid of. What are our biggest fears? Our biggest fears are confronting those things within us that are calling us to change, to recognizing our own inner darkness, our own inner demons. That is our deepest fears. But in order for us to feel good about ourselves on the inside, we have to be given the opportunity to overcome it. To feel the fear and do it anyway. That's what Yoda was teaching Luke. Feel the fear and do it anyway. And along with that comes the requirement that we have to unlearn all those things we think we know. That means we have to be willing to let go. And this can be really scary. To let go of our long-held thoughts, beliefs, and opinions. Or our BS, as I call it. Now, BS does not mean what you think it means. It means our belief system. Who built our belief system? We did, each one of us individually. Oh, we're told things, but we build our own belief system. So we have to let go of our belief system or our BS. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is being wise enough to recognize, one, that we know nothing. I'm going to change genres here a little bit and go to Star Trek. Any Trekkies? Yeah, okay. Data one time quoted many, many, many people when he said, when he was asked a question by Jean-Luc Picard, he said, I don't know. I don't know. Those are the true words of a wise person. I don't know. Socrates said it. Every great philosopher said those are the most powerful words we can know. I don't know. When we can embrace just how ignorant we really are, we become able to learn all things. Now, that ignorant does not mean stupid. Stupidity is thinking you know everything. Ignorant is being willing to be open to all things. This is what keeps us growing, keeps us improving, keeps us alive. That is wisdom. Luke's head was so full of what he thought he knew that he couldn't take in what Yoda was trying to teach him. He had that preconception of what his Jedi master was going to look like, and he had to let that go. He had this preconception of what a Jedi master was. In fact, one time he said, Yoda is a great warrior. And Yoda, in his wisdom, kind of chuckled and said, wars not make one great. Wars do not make one great. Now let's look at a clip from the movie. Now just be honest, how many of us back in 1970 tried to lift something that way? Yoda's trying to teach Luke about the holographic nature of the universe. And that the universe does not differentiate between moving rocks or moving a ship. How many times in our own lives have we had experiences or beliefs or ideas that were like ships, and we try to move them? We can move the little beliefs, the little easy things, but we can't move the big things in our consciousness. The only difference between the two is our belief in the difference. Yoda knew that even doing the smallest thing with intention and integrity and focus can cause the biggest shifts. And he told us, be clear about your learning. Be clear about your training. Focus on what you are here for. All of us are here for something. No matter where we are in our life's journey, we are still here for a reason. Yoda said to Luke, to his training, the deepest commitment a Jedi must have. This reminds us of the conviction and persistence of strength. And he admonished Luke for wanting to take the quick and easy path and told him that that path was the path to the dark side, the path to evil. Again, how true is this of us? So many times we want to go from point A to point Z in our own experience or unfolding without going through the process, without going through the journey, without going through the steps. A lot of that is what we're seeing in the world around us. As a people, as a species, we are going through some major steps in our journey. And some people say, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to do that. But they are necessary to get to the next level of our evolution, to the next highest level of expression for the race itself, for our culture, for our society, for all of us. This is the journey towards learning that we are luminous beings. When Yoda says to Luke, this crude matter we are not, that's Yoda speak for saying we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And sometimes it's hard to differentiate between what is the inner voice of wisdom and what is the monkey mind. The monkey mind is that part of us that sounds so convincing, that repeats all those messages we have heard throughout our whole lives. The monkey mind needs to be right. It needs to be righteous, rigid, defensive, cynical, with no possibility of growth or overcoming. It tells us that others are wrong. It's humorless, it's self-interested, and it's basically concerned with survival. And underlying that is always the fear that something could go wrong. When we're in that monkey mind consciousness, we are literally building a force, a field around our heart. But monkey mind can be overcome through the power of wisdom. Because the power of wisdom is open, it's compassionate, it's spacious, and it is characterized by a generosity of spirit, gentle humor, and opening of the heart. Notice how beautifully Luke exemplifies the monkey mind. It's too big. You want the impossible. And Yoda exemplifies the inner voice of wisdom. Yoda also taught that you will know the difference between good and bad when you are quiet and at peace. Luke was constantly consumed with a sense of urgency, a sense of, I got to get this done. I want everything to happen right now. He didn't honor the process in the beginning. And Yoda said, become still, become quiet. So what do we do with that? Where do we go with that? Well, wisdom invites us then to ask a question. And the question we are invited to ask is, what voices are we listening to? What thoughts are we feeding? What choices are we making? Are they based on wisdom, or are they based on the world of appearance, the world of illusion? In the Bible, it says, choose this day whom you will serve. Whom will you serve? That lower self that's immersed in the world, that is caught up in the illusion, or the higher self that sees the truth that underlies it all? I'm going to close with the analogy of what happened when Luke finally did meet his father, Anakin Skywalker, also known as Darth Vader. Now, in the beginning, Luke didn't know Darth was his father. Darth is the most evil person the galaxy has ever seen, presumably. And Luke must confront him. In the beginning, in the cave, Luke's only goal is to destroy Darth Vader. But when they finally do come face to face in the third movie, he takes a different path. Because he realized something, and this is something I think we miss in the films. Anakin, Darth Vader, had the same training Luke did, except he had it longer than Luke. He started younger. He grew up with this training. What happened? Darth Vader chose to listen to the dark side. Excuse me. Listen to me if I can't talk. He chose to listen to the dark side. He chose to immerse himself in the galaxy of appearances of illusion. They had the same journey up to a point, but Luke chose a different path. He chose to go within. He chose to engage his power of wisdom. And when he reached his turning point, when his aunt and uncle were killed who had raised him, he chose, rather than go on this path of vengeance, to go on the path of the Jedi. And so when he and Anakin met, came face to face, throughout the entire third movie, he said, I see the good in you. Looking at Darth Vader, there is still good in you. I see that. And at the end of that movie, at the climax, when he's battling Darth Vader is trying to destroy him, trying to beat him down so that he will go to the dark side as well. Luke says, no. And finally, the emperor, the evil emperor, who's more evil even than Darth Vader, says, join the dark side, Luke. All you have to do to become the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy is kill your father and take your place at my side. And even though by this point Luke was tired and beat up and sad, he shut off his lightsaber and dropped it on the ground. It's the equivalent of laying down your sword. And he says, I will not do it. You have lost, Your Highness. I will not kill my father. That was the final step in his hero's journey. That was the final, total and complete acceptance of true wisdom. Luke knew that the final step of this was not in killing his father, but becoming one with that energy, becoming one with his past, becoming one with his father. And when he made that choice, Anakin, his father, returned. Darth Vader was gone. It woke up something in him to the goodness that had always been there, that he had forgotten. And in Darth Vader, Anakin, destroys the Emperor. All because Luke chose wisdom. He looked past the appearances. He could saw behind the mask that Darth Vader had worn. That's the power of wisdom. The power of wisdom, it fills us with the knowing that there is always good, always something higher, always something more. That's the wisdom of Yoda. That's the wisdom of the Christ. And it is the wisdom you have in you. May the Force be with you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.